Chapter 43 for a beginning into our study tonight in the assortment of devotional references that I had scanned earlier this week. The tremendous blessing of relationships or connections to people kept coming over in my heart and mind. And one of the things that, when I look at Isaiah 43, 1 and 2, I know that the specific reference and interpretation would apply to the nation of Israel. I do know that. But in the statement that's there, it also, emphasizes, our Lord on our God and the essence of his unchangeableness and how it would apply not only to Israel, but to the church today. I read at verse 1, but now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned. Neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. And of course, we have some historical narrative to underscore that statement from the life and times of Daniel the prophet and his friends, from also the reassurance of the Lord Jesus himself when he refers to the flood in Matthew chapter 7, the flood that will surely come upon he who builds his house on the rock as well as he who builds his house on the sand. The water will come. So when I look at that, I'm reminded also that Isaiah makes this statement over in chapter 46 in the fourth verse with regard to the Lord. And even to your old age, I am he. And even to gray hairs will I carry you. I have made and I will bear, even I will carry and will deliver you. Now, it never occurred to me much before about even to your old age and the correlation to the carrying. But you know, the older we get, the more likely it will become that someone sooner or later will have to carry you. If not literally, physically, carry you emotionally and spiritually. When the edge gets worn thin, is when we notice it most. But there is in all of this a connection. The certainty that, is expressed here with regard to Israel, has a same, if not the similar bearing and its application to the church. For example, one thing does not change from ancient history, the life and times of Israel and the times of Judah, to the first century at the beginning of the church, to our current era, is that Jesus, according to Hebrews 13:8, never changes. He never changes. He's always the same. The same God who gave the assurances to Israel is the same God who is unchangeable. And with the application of the truth that you find in the latter part of Romans chapter 8, for example, where it says there that nothing, absolutely nothing, shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord, the unchangeable God. It occurs to me also, when it comes to these matters of relationships and connections, if you would join me back for a little passage there in Genesis 9 with regard to the rainbow. In Genesis chapter 9, when I was reading this, it just occurred to me also that, and I guess there are many things that I'm glad that I'm able to forget from 40 years ago, 45, 50 years ago. There's a lot of things I don't remember anymore, and I'm glad, but there are some things that I'll never forget. As a young person, born and raised in the Allakiskie Valley, Natrona, Freeport, never strayed out of the valley, left or right of the river much at all in my growing up years. But when the first time I ever left home, I found myself in San Antonio, Texas, and in Dallas, Texas, on a couple of occasions, and had the opportunity to look up into the night sky and see something very familiar. When I saw into the night sky, I saw these constellations, these star configurations that I remember locking onto as a high schooler here in the state of Pennsylvania. And I said, and never being a science buff, understand, science was one of those gimme courses. By that I mean the teacher gave you a passing grade if you didn't make any trouble in school. So we were sure that we didn't have any trouble. So there was not a whole lot of science that was loaded into my hard drive to begin with. But I do remember the awesomeness to me, and this was even before I was saved, the awesomeness of being able to see something in Texas that I am familiar with in Pennsylvania. And then moving from there to, and I spent a year in the Upper Plains in North Dakota. And in the winter night sky, everything was so crystal clear, and it was amazing to me. The same things I could see in Texas, I could see with absolute clarity in North Dakota. And it was just amazing to me. And I also, and what the connection is it brought a bit, can I say it this way, it brought a bit of home to a person who was not used to being away from home. And then I will say this too, that it always worked out that in each of the first couple of stops, matter of fact, the first three stops that I made, that I managed to find somebody in the course of casual conversation who mentioned a town nearby. I said, where'd you say you was from? And we're from Brackenridge, or we're from New Kensington. I said, is that right? And then we would have a little thing in common because of a relationship or a connection that we were able to strike up together. A little bit of home for both of us. And then we go to the, from there, halfway around the world, and the same thing occurs. The same thing occurs. You can look up into the sky and you can see something familiar and know that that's the same thing that you were able to see at certain times, certain places in the United States of America. It made a longing for home. And even there met people who were from this area that made the time that we spent there all the more comforting. But you move from these places and these places and these places, and you know that they're the same. Nothing changes in God's creation. So I come to Genesis chapter 9, and I see this. This is what my earlier reading this week stirred this up. Verse 12, for example, God said, "This is the token of the covenant which I made between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations." And I like that, for perpetual generations. "I do set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth. And it shall come to pass when I bring a cloud over the earth, that the bow shall be seen in the cloud. And I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. And the waters shall no more become a flood to destroy all flesh." Now, the rainbow is emblematic of a promise that God made. Now, remember, God does not change. Any promise he makes will never be modified. And so here's what we see next. And the bow shall be in the cloud. And then look at the next phrase. How many of you walked out of church or walked out of a building after just a light rain, looked up into the sky, saw this beautiful rainbow? We have, and we wow, that's really pretty. Look how far it reaches. Wow, there's the pot of gold over there. And this look how nice this is. Look at the vividness of the colors. Never thinking, as you look at it, that God is looking at the same rainbow. Connection. Relationship. To be looking at something not only that God made and permitted to happen at a precise moment in time, but also to take note from what I read here, at least in some sense of the 16th verse, that God is viewing it too. Isn't it nice to know that two people that have so much together to share are eyeballing the same thing at the same time, even though they are separated by a distance? I will look upon it that I may remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is upon the earth. God said to Noah, this is the token of the covenant which I have established between me and all the flesh that's upon the earth. And then when I think about this in its application, we're looking at the same event. And then we come into the New Testament to a couple of lines that the Apostle Paul was responsible for under the Spirit's guidance. When he gives us, for example, in 2 Timothy 3:16, concerning the classic verse on scriptural inspiration, he says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. And then a chapter or two away, we have another classic passage where it is an exhortation in 2 Timothy 4 verse 2 to preach the word, preach the doctrine, and preach it patiently. Rebuke, reprove, and exhort. And then it says, with this sense, we know that the word of God is always in season. It's always in season. God's word is breathed out by him. It is inspired. It is inerrant. It is fixed forever in heaven. And by it, we preach, always knowing that the word of God is always in season. So every time you and I have the opportunity to fellowship with God in a real and tangible way, getting us out of the metaphysical realm of it all, and we look up into the sky that he has created, and to know that he holds those stars in place, and to know that what we are looking at, it may well be that a loved one is viewing in another place, we have that connection. And yet when God allows a rainbow to appear, next time you spy one, just think of the implications of that. Yes, he is reminding of us his promise. It's unchangeable. But it is something that he admires himself. Does not God admire his own creation? Did not he say at the very beginning in the book of Genesis, it is good? And so I leave you with those thoughts. The word of God is always in season. And it is a work. It is a work of God. The very fact that it has been breathed out by God and preserved by God so that you have in your hands a copy of that is scriptures. We look at it, he looks at it. We look at it, he speaks to us. What fellowship? It doesn't get better than that. My friends, think about the extent to which and the depth to which this connection goes to the immortal, invisible, God only wise in these simple little things. Would you pray with me, please? Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your kindness. We thank you, dear Lord, for an everyday freshening of your blessings upon us. How wonderful it is to read the word, to think upon it, and to see the Spirit of God at work in the lives of people in connection with the ministry of the Word. What a joy that is. Bring glory to yourself in it all, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.